monotone. But there was another sound there, too. "Land speeders!" a Yark spat. Responding to the alarm or arriving by chance, it didn't matter. A Yark looked south. The retreat of the others had turned into a mad dash, all of them heedless of their leader and without any care for their camping gear, abandoned in the staging area. Adin bowed his head, looking suddenly quite small.
"Honored parent, we must go. All my offspring were born under the cowardly sun,"
a Yark said, stomping past the child warrior.
"We must catch up to the others."
"It is right. They go to safety."
"No,"
a Yark said, hardly believing what was happening.
"We must catch them. Because they're heading the wrong way."
The ground quaked beneath Orin's dress boots. A dozen meters above, the settler's call siren screamed its ear-piercing warning to the oasis and beyond. But neither sound waves nor retreating Tuskens could distract the farmer from the sorry sight in front of him. The base of old number one sparked. The vaporator's control panels bashed to bits. Danar's secret formula was gone. Orin had recorded the settings many times over the years, with the Calwell's permission, but the water from his pretormans had never been as sweet. Old number one was unique. Some flaw, some short circuit, perhaps even some rewiring Danar had never told him about. Orin had feared to pry further into the device so as not to destroy its magic. Now it was gone. But the siren had done its job safe on its mount. It had been Danar's notion to place it up there. Orin would have preferred to see it located anywhere else in case the thing upset the prized vaporator's performance. Danar had safeguarded against that by powering the alarm independently from the vaporator's grid. That decision by a dead friend had saved them all. Short of climbing to the top or knocking the column over, the brutes had no chance of disabling the Clarion. Danar had saved them. And now, the siren would avenge him and his home. Settlers arrived by land speeder and Dewback, Eopian speeder bike. All had been returning from Mos Espa, already bound for the claim. The siren and digital signal had sped them along. Orin turned to the gathering group. Settlers thronged outside the garages and store. The Tuskens hadn't caused the initial land speeder wreck, but the vehicles, scorched by blaster bolts, gave the impression that they were in a war zone. Jabe and Vika were inside the store, relaying rifles uncovered from the collapsed racks out to the would-be vigilantes. Outside, Mullen held up his hands, directing the settlers to form a perimeter. The Tuskens had withdrawn, but they could return at any time. "Anyone as crazy as Plug-Eye could do anything." Orin shook his head at his recollection of the vaunted warrior. No vengeful demon, just a Tuscan, short and a bit stocky, unafraid of the siren, but unable to calm the others. Well, maybe that would protect the claim now. He looked to where Ben was kneeling with the Rodian. Doc Mel, who had returned from the races with his youngling, approached Orin.
"Bomber's alive," the Mon Calamari said.
"Alive?"
"I can't figure out how. You said that human was tending to him?"
"As soon as the Tuskens left, I saw..." "No, I didn't see what Ben was doing. But he must have dressed the wound." Orin breathed a sigh of relief, his first real one in an hour. "Rodian's skin must be tough." Doc Mel looked back in wonder.
"We'll still need to get him to Bestine in my speeder right away."
Orin nodded.
"We'll clear a path."
The place had become a traffic jam. Drills prepared farmers to arrive in an orderly manner to arm themselves, departing in the call fund's war-ready vehicles. But everyone had come from one direction this time, and the parking area was a mess.
"Sir!"
It was an alien voice, one Orin had momentarily forgotten all about. The two Deveronian executives appeared next to him, carrying their colleague on a litter. He was dead.
"We've paid someone to return us to Mos Eisley,"
the older of the pair said, his voice somber.
"There is a funeral to prepare."
Orin lowered his head.
"If you'll wait, I'll..."
"No waiting."
The Deveronians moved the corpse toward one of the newly arrived landspeeders.
"I recognize your loss,"
Orin said, struggling to sound respectful while making himself heard amid the growing commotion.
"But after a while, we can discuss things again. You still have a hotel, and I still have..."
"No,"
the younger Deveronian replied gravely.
"You brought us to see the Galt Farms. We saw a barbaric place. One you can't defend, even for a day."
He looked down sadly at his dead companion.
"Poor Jervet, feared this trip was a fool's errand. It seems in death he was right."
Orin raised his hands.
"Please understand. Excuse us."
Orin watched plaintively as his would-be business partners proceeded with their unhappy chore. His mind raced. There still might be some way to salvage the deal. But so much was happening, and now he was aware of a grating voice nearby. Ulbrich was outside, recovered and telling his tale of heroism to anyone who'd listen. And people were listening, amazed. There were a dozen dead Tuscans in the shop. Everyone near an entrance was taking a look as Annalene and others tried to move the bodies. Blaster bolts had killed some, but others looked seared and scarred. What had Ulbrich found beneath the counter to shoot them with? The old man hadn't seemed to know himself earlier. But now, he was filling in blanks as quickly as he could imagine them. Ben, the drifter, remained in the story, but he'd arrived after it was all over. The crazy fool bringing a can of fire retardant to a gunfight. There was something else in Ulbrich's tale, which he repeated every third sentence.
"Sure I did it myself. You can't depend on Galt and his little club for nothing. Settlers call,"
he spat through brown teeth.
"Settlers fall is more like it."
"That's not fair, Wile."
Orin pushed through the crowd toward the old man.
"This was a fluke. A festival day.
I will..."